You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, better or worse, good or bad, giant fights and throwdowns or not, we're going to give you our honest opinions on whatever we experience. And this week, we have a doozy, folks. We have experienced something that has divided the experience grinders pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about
there's almost a civil war. Oh, wait, that's a different one.
Oh, that's a much better IP.
Yeah.
In order to help us facilitate this, we've brought in a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine, Mr. Nathan Ferris.
Hello, everybody.
You might remember Nathan from our Star Wars Episode 7 discussion.
That legendary episode.
Yeah, man.
Everybody's still talking about it.
You know, you just, but I think that's one of our most viewed or listened to episodes so far. It's only you. It's not the fact that it's Star Wars.
I think you still have not got paid for that episode. And we'll talk to the secretary.
No, I've been waiting on it. I've called you guys.
It's in the mail. I know that. So.
I've heard that.
But no, so, you know, it's kind of a thing, big movie release. We're going to have Nathan on. We're going to talk about these big movies now.
Ooh, okay.
I like
down
it.
For that.
I think it works. We're going to do it again sometime in the very near future. So what are we talking about, Ryan? What movie has brought us together?
We are talking about Zack Snyder's masterpiece, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah. You gotta have those, but it's not Batman versus,
or is
Superman.
It Batman v
it's
Superman?
Batman v Superman, which is
like a court case.
Exactly,
it's supposed to be indicative. Fucking even worse.
Yeah,
it was about as exciting as watching
at points. Yeah,
like, yeah,
courtroom
yeah.
footage.
Batman v Superman was like watching a custody battle between two parents getting a divorce.
So yeah,
there
I mean that's the entire show. That's what it
done.
Is.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, you've been great,
true.
Nathan.
I gotta get out of here.
You know, we have this thing. We gotta run through this. We have the intro motto. What's the episode about? So now we're on the intro question, a topic.
Yeah.
And I had some ideas, and it's mostly
questions.
It's focused on a DC character, but one that was not featured in this movie.
Hmm.
It's something that I recently read Kingdom Come again, which is a pretty good DC comic, I think.
Fantastic art.
Yeah, it's really great art. I think everything is painted in that.
Mm-hmm. It's Alex Ross.
But it brought me to a question. The Green Lantern is also a human like Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, he ages as well, just as a normal human. Like being a Green Lantern doesn't give him any sort of longevity.
I wouldn't.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so. I mean,
that might be a part of the ring. I have no idea, to be honest with you. So I've never really heard that, though.
It's a magic ring. So, I mean, anything could be written, whatever. It's kind of stupid comic logic that exists. But I would, like, with comics, you got to kind of consider that most of them take place usually. But it's like 20 years you could be reading a book and Peter Parker's still in high school.
Exactly, yeah.
Character's own age is just not important.
What I'm saying is that he would age. Like, he would become old and have to give up the mantle eventually.
Well, he would. I think that's the Green Lantern Corps, just in general, is they live their purpose to serve and they die and pass the ring.
Find someone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, though, it's been a long time since I read Kingdom Come, but I don't think that's Hal Jordan in that. It's like the Golden Age one. What is his name?
Oh.
Not Jay Garrick. That's a Flash.
It's not Kyle Rayner. It's not...
I don't remember his name offhand, but it's...
So it's not Hal Jordan.
Matt Gargan. Is it Matt Gargan?
No.
Then I have no idea anymore.
Oh, shit. I can't
remember. Those are the Green Lanterns I know.
Who was the Black Green Lantern?
That's Jon Stewart.
I like him
a lot.
Thank
you. I was thinking in my head.
Not the Daily Show host, no. Although it should be. He should play him in a movie in blackface. That should be the way that movie goes.
Definitely the most sensitive way.
Yeah, that's the way I would do it if I was casting it.
No, the one in the... It's actually kind of an interesting story. Well, I guess, relatively. But,
go for it.
The one in the Kingdom Come, Alex Ross, like, refused to draw Kyle Rayner because he's, like, this real hardcore, like, Silver Age superhero fan, right? So...
You can get that in the comic, too.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. But, like, he didn't like how they had handled the Green Lantern's... I guess you would say, breakdown a few years prior to when Kingdom Come came out, because he, I don't know if you're really aware of any of this, but like he basically goes nuts and like kills every other Green Lantern and mm-hmm. ends up becoming like this ultimate evil villain in the universe for like probably the better part of a decade or mm-hmm. so, I would say.
And this is before Hal Jordan.
This is in the time that
this is Hal Jordan.
Green Arrow. Oh,
okay.
Died.
It's around time Superman died because.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Many characters
in,
are dying
in the Death of Superman storyline. I remember from when I was a kid, Green Lantern's city that he lived, his hometown, I believe it's called Coast City. If
it
I
is.
Correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good pull. I sound like such a fucking dork right now.
No, go for it.
That's what you're going to do on this
dude,
show.
I man. Talked no, about Civil War, the comic, for like 30 minutes on one of these episodes. So,
well, Coast City ends up getting like annihilated by someone. I don't remember who. And someone involved with the Death of Superman story. Hal Jordan basically loses his shit and goes psycho. And I don't remember what brings him to the decision to kill all the other Green Lanterns. It's been a long time, but he does that, and he has all their rings, and I don't really remember how it worked itself out, but basically Kyle Rayner came in as the new one, and he was the Green Lantern for, like I said, the better part of mm-hmm. a decade, I would say.
He was a total obnoxious bro. He was like my least favorite Green
like
Lantern,
Kyle
Rayner.
A cartoonist or something, isn't he?
Was he? Oh.
Yeah. I didn't really ever read the Green Lantern that much up until Hal Jordan came back when Geoff Johns was writing it. That's the only yeah. time I've ever really gotten into that book. But
what did he do? Darkest Night and all that run too.
Yeah, okay. He introduced all the different colors. Ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess my other question relating to Green Lanterns is that like Batman, they are just normal people. I mean, even when they are aliens, they're
yeah.
not.
Yeah, I don't think the ring itself grants them like they well, don't become yeah. immortal.
So
or
it finds greatness in people or like whatever
willpower.
Yeah. So that's my yeah. thing. So like they still get in like these giant. Bang out, crash, like fights. So, like,
yeah.
the Green Lantern, has he ever had like a bone broken, things like that? Like,
oh, yeah.
I think I'm the sure. ring,
but
that's how he can like go into space and shit. Like,
because it gives him like
gives
a force
like,
field,
aura
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Him that somehow,
yeah.
I don't know how it works.
But he can still get his ass whooped within that aura, right? Because I mean,
he
I've seen
get his
him
ass beat in it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, if Superman just walked up to him and fucking jacked him or something, you know, like he would probably die mm-hmm. or at least be. In pretty bad shape, I would think, but well, I don't know. I think I don't really know, to be honest with you. I'm not super knowledgeable about the character.
If he wasn't able to do anything with the ring and Superman punched him, like it would,
oh for sure, if
destroy
it was just,
him.
Like,
yeah,
with no,
like they
like,
are
protection at all.
Yeah, they're breakable, but like if he has the ring, so he can construct it, like anything he needs to defend. So like it usually never gets to that point.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense now too, because he always is enveloped in like the green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
flame or whatever yeah. when he's flying around, and I guess it does give him the power of flight too, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So like does Wonder Woman have flight?
Yeah,
I believe so,
but with or without the jet, like there's an invisible jet, like
I don't know what the deal is with that jet.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if that was for the TV show they had back in the day, because it sounds like something like a film production or a
yeah.
TV production would have to be like, well, we need her to fly,
mm-hmm.
we don't have the budget for a, you know, she can't be in a real jet, of course. It's going to cost shitload
ton of money.
It's a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, this invisible jet.
Yeah.
Or maybe some lazy comic book artist, you know, is like, I don't want to draw a fucking jet
yeah.
every time.
It's also the reason you have Superman in a spacesuit. Like, motherfucker, he's an alien that
yeah.
can breathe in space. Why does he need a spacesuit? But, like, that
well, that's,
was the thing
that's
that
when
exists.
You get into, like, those crappy WB yeah. comic or WB cartoons that I always hated.
We'll talk more about that
and
later.
It was all more.
You don't like those?
No, especially, like, the ones that ran,
so
like,
wrong.
Compared to. The Batman cartoon, the Superman cartoon was garbage. And like, they've got like a Superman motorcycle. Why does Superman need a motorcycle?
I don't remember.
All right, one, because it's aimed at kids. And
exactly.
Kind of
it's merchandising.
Figures.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But,
well, yeah, that's just stupid.
But
toys,
for somebody who is a Superman fan, like,
yeah.
those are the most true to the comics. Like, that Superman WB show and the Batman WB show are like some of the most accurate comic representations you will
find. I think my biggest problem with those two is that I like the way Batman is drawn. I hate the way Superman looks in that cartoon.
They are the same art style.
I know, and it's weird, but like, I don't know. There's like Superman just looks ridiculous to me. I don't get it.
The thing
but,
about the Batman show is like
it's all the writing.
It goes
Paul
beyond
Dini, man.
It goes beyond being an accurate representation to like becoming a defining one. Like
oh,
most,
yeah.
that's what a
yeah.
lot of people know them as. You know
exactly.
I mean? Like,
yeah, I
show,
would give you that.
So, I mean, yeah. I don't know if Superman had quite the impact as that one did, but I think...
Well, I know a lot of kids grew up watching those Batmans after school, too. I know I did. So.
Yeah, so yeah. I think the Superman one is just as good at portraying that character in, how should I say it, like the way you would expect him to be based on any comic book, and the exact opposite of, say, Zack Snyder doing it.
Another thing, I remember in the Superman cartoon, all the police and stuff had laser guns, which was I always thought was kind
of
dumb.
That's just because of the censorship.
Yeah. But the Batman cartoon, they had guns because it was set like in the 30s and the 50s. The Spider-Man cartoon also had the laser guns, yes, but...
Those shows are always so funny because the cops would show up and immediately be like useless.
Yeah.
Like,
and Spider-Man never throws a punch in that cartoon, not once. Never throws a punch or a kick.
I'm still on this laser gun thing. Are you sure they were laser guns and it just wasn't animation that made like a bright yellow laser for the bullet, but like they get hit and then it's like, I'm shocked. No, it's people didn't get hit because it's too violent.
That could be true.
I didn't watch a lot of the Superman
cartoon. As a big fan, I did not like that cartoon. The only episode I've watched many times is the one where him and Flash have the race around the world.
It's not even the best one.
I think that's the best one.
Okay.
I love that episode.
Wrong. It's for the man who has everything is the best one where he gets...
Well, that was Justice League Unlimited or whatever.
Oh, no shit. You're right. Yeah. It is.
I mean, same...
Same, man, same animation and style art style, and but yeah.
Not that right, different. Right. But yeah, I think because that one also has Batman and Wonder Woman showing up in it, which...
Didn't happen in the Superman one. You're right. Yeah.
I've got one more
Nathan,
question.
I like that you're here.
Yeah, I do too. This is helping me out a lot.
So don't show this on...
Oh, no. Don't ever show this. It's on YouTube. Nathan is a giant nerd with the rest of us. And this is helping me out. So, okay, what is Martian Manhunter's thing? Like,
that's
what is
a character
his
I know
he's
power? Nothing about.
I can speak.
Okay, yeah. So what, like, is he super buff? Is he fast?
He is everything. Like, he is the most powerful.
Everything.
Seriously, like, the
is he
most
more
powerful
than Superman?
Yes, he is
really?
The most powerful person in the DC universe. The issue is his weakness is fire. So he has, like, a very, very... damaging weakness, where Superman's like kryptonite. Well, who has kryptonite? Like 1% of the population, if that. Like anybody can make fire,
pretty
much.
I mean
he has Superman's strength, he has like the speed of the Flash, he has like,
and he can communicate telepathically.
He's a shapeshifter, like he can do fucking anything. He
like
is
a
the
really
most
powerful telepath, isn't he? Like in the comics and stuff.
And I'll say like
he could go toe-to-toe with Superman like in a fist fight though.
As long as Superman didn't have a book of matches.
Really?
But like that's
I did not know this.
Have you guys read or seen the Justice League the New Frontier cartoon / comic?
I've seen the movie. I've never actually read the comic.
Well, they're both great. If you've seen the movie, it has like one of my favorite Batman lines. Is like he's going through like ways to dispatch people. It's like, well, for Superman, I have a rock from a meteor of his home planet. Like, and for you, John Jones, Martian Manhunter, all I have to do is bring out a book of matches. And it's just like, boom, mic drop. Like, I'm Batman. Like, that's it. Like, that's it. And
so with that, let's go ahead and we'll start transitioning into this actual episode then. Do you want to give our sponsorship? I mean, as always.
Oh, yeah. So we are sponsored by Andre. This week, we have a peach Moscato.
It's actually pretty tasty. I'm not a fan of peach at all.
It's new for us. We've never had this
We've never had this flavor.
What do you think, Nathan?
It's pretty good. This is Andre the Giant's signature brand, right?
Before he died, he set this up through his lawyer.
Winery,
whatever the fuck we're drinking.
It's a winery.
Yeah.
Is this wine?
Yeah. Champagne's a wine.
Make champagne from a winery, right?
It's a bubbly wine. That's what I understand.
Either way, it was Andre the Giant.
It was Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's a fact.
And Andre Dawson, the old Cubs player.
I don't know that reference. I don't get that.
No one watching this will get that reference. Or listening or whatever.
So yeah, as always, thank you, Andre. We're going to try to keep this episode epic with Andre. I mean, try as they might, this has attempted to be the most epic movie of the year so far. So
that was a good segue.
Yeah.
I was trying to think in my head how to segue it in.
We've kept it epic with Andre. Do we have a bump for this one? If you don't, I've got an idea.
I do.
Okay, what's yours?
It's actually, and I sent it to you guys today, but it's the Wonder Woman theme music.
Really?
Because
okay.
It's, I don't know, I think that's a talking point, but it's this very...
We'll get into her, I'm sure.
It's weird. This soundtrack, we'll talk more about when we get in, but it's done by Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL. Hans Zimmer, who did... I know, fucking right?
I saw that on the credits.
What a contradiction.
Like,
but
Hans Zimmer was like, you want me to work... Oh,
okay. Hans Zimmer. I just read the other...
Where's my check?
I just read today, I think it was.
He quit?
Yeah, he decided not to ever do another superhero movie.
Good
for him. Really?
You know, that probably
Damn.
Extends to like,
I did not
unless,
see that.
Unless they hand me a large bag of money to do it, and then I'll probably do it.
That's fine.
He did all the Batmans, did he not? All the Christopher Nolans?
He did.
So. That's because he works with Nolan, though.
He does. And he did Man of Steel, and he did the Superman and Batman themes here. It's fine. He can quit because he's just really turned into just dark tones. Like, there's no more melodies.
I don't remember any of the music.
Nothing stood out to me.
This one stood out for me. This one's like, you hear Hans Zimmer, and then this fucking thing comes on when Wonder Woman pops out, and it's this big, blaring techno, like Mad
guitar,
Max.
Guitar, yeah.
Yeah, it's like this weird, just rock track, and it's like, well, I know what Junkie XL did. It was this thing. So,
all right, well, let's...
You're gonna hear a piece of it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and give it a listen. So that was the Wonder Woman theme, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wonder Woman is somebody I feel we're going to talk about a lot, even though she has a very minuscule part in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You could almost argue not really any reason to be in this
movie. I agree, but we'll get into that. Well,
or Batman.
So we have a thing for the audience where we play a little game where we like to try to break down the essence of whatever we're discussing within a minute. And you as the guest, Nathan, we thought we'd let you take a crack at this and maybe have you go first for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got sound engineer Andy here with the timer.
Yep. And, 1 minute to sum up
whenever
the
you're ready
movie.
To go, you just tell him and then we're going to go off on it.
You know what? I don't think I'm going to need anywhere near a minute for this, but
I usually do them in like 30.
All right. Let me just think for a second. Okay. Go ahead. All right, alien comes to Earth as a child, grows up, has superpowers. There's another guy that dresses up like a bat. They don't like each other. They punch each other a bunch. They realize they're actually friends, and then they fight a giant monster.
There it is. That's pretty succinct. That's 17 seconds. That's maybe a record.
And everyone's depressed.
Everyone is depressed.
You can add 2 more seconds to that.
what's the final time on that?
20 seconds?
That is a record, I feel.
Oh, well, mine's not going to be short. You go ahead, start it. You go ahead, start it. I'll put this in. Nathan's was very short and concise. Unfortunately, the movie is not short and concise.
No.
This movie tells you the origin of Batman again. So Bruce Wayne's parents died. He becomes Batman.
Surprise.
He has daddy and mommy issues. He hates Superman because he's powerful. That's all we're given. Lex Luthor comes in because he hates Superman. Again, like, he hates power too. There's no real reason. So he, in some weird twist, tries to get Superman and Batman to fight. They do. Batman stops because they have mothers with the same names. And then Wonder Woman, that's fucking a legit plot point. That's a legitimate plot point. Then Wonder Woman shows up because no reason, and they fight Doomsday. Superman sacrifices himself.
10 seconds.
He dies. The audience doesn't care. No one cried.
I guess we're doing spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers galore.
Yeah.
It's actually, that. We'll go ahead and call that. Ryan's lovely wife actually does our new spoiler warning at the beginning of every episode because we hold nothing back. So feel free. Everything
just
is on the table.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
this is going to be an open discussion with spoilers. I just spoiled a lot of it.
So you've come off the bat. I like everything that you said.
Yeah.
I am in this episode as the staunch and only defender of this movie, but it is nowhere near, it has a lot of flaws.
Yeah.
I will come right out and say that.
I
This movie is just one huge flaw.
Yeah, there's a lot of bloat in this movie.
Yes.
I had fun with it, but I, you know, rethinking, I had a lot of problems too.
Yeah. Before we get into all the problems, like, because I think there's going to be a lot of negative discussion from this end of the table.
Yeah.
I would really like to maybe discuss the positives first. To not just be a total dick. Because I think, like you said, there are some things that are good here. They're buried.
Yeah.
But there are some good things here. And I'd like to maybe talk about the positives first. Before.
I think, for me, the biggest positive, hands down, Ben Affleck is a great Batman. I think he's fucking fantastic.
I agree with that.
Agreed.
I think that's what pretty much everybody thinks.
Like, I love the bat suit.
I've not seen anyone really complaining about
it. It's again, it's like the Heath Ledger thing. Like, everybody freaked out.
But yeah,
everybody's like, Ben Affleck can't do it, he was Daredevil. It's like, they did the same thing with Heath Ledger. It's like, just have some trust in the casting, because Ben Affleck is fantastic.
I like Ben Affleck a lot, and I'm very excited now that he is going to direct a slew of Batman movies.
Yeah,
I think they've given him three, if I'm
really
correct. Yeah. It was originally one, but now they've given him three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited. I like Ben Affleck as a director. I think he's going to do... He's really awesome as Batman. Mm-hmm. He has a great imposing figure about him. I think he really kind of captures the character. He sort of
It's all that CrossFit, beating tires with sledgehammers.
He loses it towards there at
it's
the end.
It's a scene.
with the whole
that does
Superman scene,
here, by the way.
It does happen.
I'm going to love this podcast, because everything we say, we're going to get a reaction from sound engineer Andy.
Sound engineer Andrew.
Incredulously laughing like
he's
we're
not
making
this
up.
Yeah. None of this is made up. This movie is... It is off the rails. It's another one that, like, I cannot believe there is not more studio muckery. I feel it maybe could have done with some.
What do you mean?
I think this is.
Yeah.
So you don't think this was Zack Snyder just running?
I think
free.
If he'd have been given free reign, it would have been a bad movie either way. But
I think he was given free reign in the tone. But like every plot point just seems like
and
you said
setting
studio
up
notes.
All the setup for the future stuff is obvious,
which is really bad and ham-fisted.
That's the worst. That's
God.
That's how long our positivity lasted.
Out of all of them, like the Jason Momoa Aquaman cameo is
like
so bad.
And, like, stares at the camera for like 20 seconds and then just swims
it's
away.
The worst.
He stabs it with his spear
and then zooms off.
It's why would you put that in this movie? Because I was actually maybe a little bit intrigued, like an Aquaman movie, how are they going to do that? And then I saw this and I was like, yep, I don't need to see that. That's money I'm going to save.
I don't know what they're going to do with it.
It looks like an effect out of Smallville.
It really did not look good at all. I didn't even believe that he was underwater. I'm like, he's not underwater here. This is
I think he was
green screened. Was it?
You think he was?
His hair was like moving around pretty naturally, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but he did not. I don't know. Maybe they tried to do that to give it the feeling that...
I was like half conscious as this was going on, because the movie was about over and I felt like I'd been sitting there for about 5 hours.
At that point, like, it's... I think this... Oh my God, and I want to talk about this more in depth too. But like that scene where Wonder Woman gets the flash drive with all these superheroes, which would be like... It'd be a really good Easter egg at the end of the movie. You don't put this in the middle of your movie. And you don't put it right before the fucking climax, because it just stops the pacing of the movie.
Those are terrible scenes. Watch some YouTube videos of
the Flash, Aquaman, and Cyborg, and the Cyborg stuff. Like, I would love for anybody to come out of that theater who is not a comic book fan being excited about that, because that was not set up at all.
You know what? As an aside, like, I wish DC would stop trying to make Cyborg a thing. Like,
he's
Cyborg
not great.
Sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's so lame.
I liked him in Teen Titans, but really, he wasn't great in that. I mean, I watched that for fucking Robin and...
You make what you do is you make Cyborg your Boy Scout, and he can become a good foil. He could be the straight man. But like you don't need
Captain
it with
America.
Superman, though, because Superman should be that.
Exactly. Superman is your golden boy.
He should be your golden
boy. That's
what
he should be, yeah.
but anyway, so this flash drive that has all these files of the superheroes
Batman
for future
just
movies.
Like, gets a hold of her on like AOL Messenger or something.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, what's up? Check this shit out.
Yeah, it's like an ICQ chat from like the 90s.
So like, how does he even know like what is happening here? You know, like,
and they have logos designed. Who the fuck designed the logos for these superheroes that aren't superheroes yet?
Lex Luthor, dog.
Why would he design logos for his enemies?
Also, oh, not even his enemies. He's never even met them. Like, none of them know each other. And he's like, I can understand him keeping tabs on these people because he's obviously interested in the meta-human thing or whatever. Yeah. But that makes sense. But it's like, well, I'm going to put together, get in Photoshop, make me a little image for their individual folders, you know, and what is going on?
Did you guys, I like that it... that this flash drive had a file of the Flash on it, huh?
That was a pun.
Yeah, right? That was terrible. I'm
that
sorry.
That was pretty bad.
I don't get it.
You had that great epic segue with Andre. Yeah, and then you did this.
I can't be on all the time, dog. That's why you're my co-host. You got to pick up the slack.
No. I'm going to be like Batman, and we're just going to fight for no reason.
See, that's...
starting now.
Why? Man, they could have had so many better reasons for them to fight in this movie. Yeah. And then, like, what event... Like, I still don't... Why did they fight?
I think that's a big thing. I think a lot of these plot points in the movie, like, you walk away after seeing the movie, after even reading about it more, you don't know why. Like, why are they fighting? It's literally because Batman fears Superman's ability to do something, but then we're never showed, like... the consequences. What we're given, logically, this movie wastes an hour setting up like this incident in Afghanistan, which we'll talk about because I'm with you on that. But it sets up this incident where Superman goes to Afghanistan to save Lois Lane after everybody else dies. But then Lois Lane gets threatened. He comes in and he does something. Is he in trouble for doing something in the village and people dying? Is he in trouble for people getting shot? Like, why is he in trouble?
They blamed all the people dying on him. That was a leak Luther put out.
That is completely unnecessary. We just saw Man of Steel, and like the end of Man of Steel is like 30 minutes of like people dying, cities getting destroyed. Like,
yeah, they could have used that.
The smart thing to do is you can keep that Ben Affleck stuff with him running into the city to save people as Superman is destroying it. And then you cut to like the Senate trial for that. You don't need this Afghanistan subplot. And like, I think it really only exists to kill a certain character. Oh, if Nathan, you would like to take over, because I know this is an issue for you. And
well, it's not that I'm such a huge fan of this character that I was like, oh, because I didn't even know it was him when I saw the movie. I read
about
it.
You wouldn't if you.
Yeah, how would you know?
I mean, he is listed in the credits.
Yeah. But,
so like, it is canon. Like, that's what it was.
But yeah, I didn't even know about it till like a day or two.
Well, I kind of figured once he was the photographer, I was like, oh, that was.
But then he said he was like CIA secret agent.
Yeah, so
I was like,
that's what drew me. I was right. Like, what?
So Jimmy Olsen is a CIA secret agent,
and he is executed by a point blank bullet to the face, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, if you need something to set the tone of this movie and what it's going to do with these characters, that I don't think there's anything better you could do.
Jimmy
execute
Olsen,
fucking Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen
with a bullet to the head.
He is introduced, and within a minute, he is shot in the face.
Jimmy Olsen, who is.
That's
usually,
Zack Snyder's respect for the DC universe.
Yeah, I mean, usually he is Superman's best friend
and confidant, and he's integral to Superman.
He's like Bucky to Captain America, almost. Like, Captain America's the big tough, and Bucky's the normal, like, hey, I'm just a dude, but we're best friends still. It keeps it humanizes him, almost, I feel. Yeah.
And Jimmy Olsen, to be fair, is a very cheesy character, I feel like.
Yeah.
He is, and that's by design.
He's a product of the 60s or 50s when he was around.
And,
like, that
and, you know, that's
sense back
that's
then.
Fine. I don't have a problem with that, necessarily. But, to me, it really just says, like, oh, I don't know how, I'm sure you guys are familiar with this to some extent, but, like, in the 90s, when comic books all had to become like ultra dark and
edgy,
gritty, and everybody had to
when
start
Superman
killing.
Had a mullet.
That's when all the DC characters either got killed or whatever, you know, or went nuts. And it's like, we can't have a cheesy-ass character like Jimmy Olsen in this movie. This is a, you know, this is a modern movie. So it's like, he's going to be a CIA agent. We're going to execute him, and that'll be it, you know? And it's like, that's just the tone of the movie from there on out.
Like, I'm glad you brought up, like, the 90s, the dark, gritty, like, DC universe, because that is firmly what this movie is. And I'm going to talk more negative as we go on, and there will be maybe some more positives. I don't know. But Zack Snyder seems like he fell in love with this when he was a teenager, and that's like the Superman Batman he knows is this dark and gritty stuff. And I'll go out and say it, like, I don't like that. Like, I like my superheroes to inspire people, especially Superman. Superman is a symbol of hope, justice, and the American way. Like,
I give you that. Yeah.
In any fucking context, like, even in the 90s, like, so this movie, spoiler alert, we've already given that, like, it ends with Doomsday, which I think the trailer is fucking spoiled, but the Doomsday arc, if you know from the comics, ends with Superman's death. Superman in the comics, like, Doomsday is on a war path to the city. Like, the superheroes are all fighting him out, like, in the Snowbirdsville, and Doomsday is headed towards Metropolis. And Superman jumps in the line of fire and just takes pummeling after pummeling. Just
sacrifices
gets
himself.
Yeah, to save the city, to buy the other heroes more time. Like, the Superman in this universe inspires nobody.
That's my big complaint.
A murderer.
As the big Superman fan here at the table, the Superman in this movie is a giant pussy and a huge waste of this character. Like, he does nothing but get beat up in this movie. Like, at no point am I really like, yeah, this is Superman taking charge, taking lead. He's not looked at as a leader. He's just fodder through this entire movie.
Seems like he's got like contempt for the people.
That's more than anything, you know? That's like, I think more so, like, I wouldn't argue he's a pussy necessarily.
I mean,
like,
he spends like Superman and Wonder Woman constantly get the best of him and one up him, like even in the fight with
Batman.
Yeah, what I say,
you Superman, said Superman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Batman and Wonder Woman are constantly getting the better things of him.
Well, again, it's like, it's that's because of a fucking plot issue. Like, it's like that final fight, it's one, Lois Lane does not belong anywhere in that final fight.
Dude, no.
But, like, Superman, for some reason, is burdened with getting the kryptonite spear out of the well to fight Doomsday. It's like, motherfucking screenwriters, do you not realize you have Batman and Wonder Woman there? Either of which, you could be like Superman, just say a line like, hey, obviously you guys know kryptonite hurts me. Maybe one
Can
of you should get
this,
it.
Please?
You know, some semblance of teamwork. So, like, when this Justice League thing starts to form, like, you don't feel any bonds or teamwork. It's just three people murdering the shit out of an alien. Like, that's all it is. Like, they don't work together. So, like, I don't
Batman
know.
Spends most of that fight running away. Like, diving.
He does, yeah.
Diving for safety below park benches and shit.
Like, which, you know, I think it's fair. Like, yeah, Batman doesn't belong in a Doomsday fight.
Yeah, like, why...
But why put him there?
Why I don't get... Why did they... Dude, Doomsday was wasted in this movie.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And he was shoehorned in to kill Superman, which, surprise, surprise, he's not dead at the end either. I mean...
Well, and more so, again, screenwriting issue. Superman dies once. Like, he gets sent out into space with Doomsday, gets blown up with a nuke, and you see his fucking corpse.
See, he's not dead up there. He's severely drained. Like, well, he comes back once the sun hits him, which is what he needs, is the yellow
sun.
Well,
that's the thing.
He's close to death, but he's not dead up there.
He's dying. The sun heals him. We're gonna fucking bury his dead body and put it under the ground. Like, you fucking idiots. Yeah. Like, put him out in the sun. Like, it's just logically,
you know why, that
mind-numbing.
You know why that's in the movie, though, right? The thing of him in space where he's all
so
fucked up.
So he can
up.
Float like Christ?
Well, that...
Because Zack Snyder loves Christ imagery.
Millions of shoehorned Christ images. And, but
also,
the thing...
Real quick, I'm sorry, I'm going to let you finish. God damn it, that's Kanye. Oh, no, I Kanye'd you.
You did totally
Kanye,
Nathan.
But, like, did you guys pick up on all the Christ imagery, and then they release this movie on Easter, and then they kill Superman?
I did not even
like,
pick up
kill
on that.
Jesus on...
Well, don't forget that there's a kryptonite spear, you know.
Just like it! Oh my God. Nathan, you complete me.
there's a lot of shit like that.
What were you going to go on
with? Yeah,
but
please continue.
Well, to me, the movie felt like Zack Snyder, who is, I want to say, has gone on record saying he doesn't really like the character Superman, like, several times.
You
and
can
that
tell.
Really comes through.
Yeah, you can absolutely tell.
In your
tell.
Movie, why would you even do a movie? Well, I know why. They gave him a shitload of money.
Yeah,
but,
obviously.
But to me, the movie was like he read The Dark Knight Returns and was like, that's pretty cool. We need to make a movie around this. But we're not going to adapt this book. We're just going to shoehorn shit from it into a story.
We're going to take parts from other things, too.
Yeah, and like, because, all right, if you've ever read The Dark Knight Returns, you know that Batman and Superman are not exactly friends in that.
There's been a long time in distance.
It comes from contempt and animosity that's built up over years and decades. Not
first meetings.
Yeah. Batman immediately dislikes him. Because of which, for based on what happened in the previous movie, it's understandable. But he's also like the world's greatest detective or whatever. So it's like, you're not going to put any more thought into this other than, like, you're not even considering the fact that he was fighting another alien that was clearly trying to kill everybody. And a lot of shit got fucked up. But it's like, you're not even going to take that into account when you're judging this guy. You know, it's like,
like the nuclear bomb scenario. Do you sacrifice, how many do you sacrifice for the greater good of the rest? Like,
And so when they do finally have their ridiculous fight at the end, Batman's giving him all these speeches about like, oh, I bet you were told you're special and my parents taught me. It's all like almost word for
you're
word.
You're not brave.
It's a lot of it
brave.
Is like word for word from or at least close to it, from Dark Knight Returns. And it's like you're trying to put in the emotion and the context of something that is like years after these guys have met and grown. They know each other. Yeah, they know each other.
And it's history. It's history.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think the DC universe is really rushing. And I think it's a bad move.
If there's any sign that DC is really just trying to get too much in one movie, it's that. Like, they want you to, like, identify with this Batman character. Like, he's so old and worn down. He's just sick of everything. Yeah. It's like, we just met this guy, technically. I mean, we know who Batman is, of course, but, like...
We know who Batman is, yet they felt the need to give us another goddamn origin story. It's
like, they're going
to
do it again in this fucking Spider-Man reboot, too. You know
I guarantee you they won't.
You don't? I hope not.
I know they're not in
Marvel
Civil
Studios
War.
Has gone on record saying they're done with origin stories.
Thank
like, they're
God.
Just gonna pick
I'm
up
so
in media
fucking
res.
Over them. We know what is going on.
They're definitely not doing it in Captain America. They said that.
Yeah.
He's coming in already established at that point. So.
But, so yeah, then there's that, and there's the scene where he's rescuing Martha, you know. and that is the best scene
in the movie.
That fight scene was cool.
I think it's the best fight scene.
Yeah. But at the end of it, when he busts through the wall or whatever, and he's got that gun, and the guy's like, oh, you better get away. I'll fucking do it, man. And he's like, yeah, I believe you. And then he blasts the guy. Well, he shoots his fire tank thing, and it's...
So
and that scene
Batman
is like almost directly
guns.
From Dark Knight Returns, except the guy didn't have a flamethrower. He just had a gun or something. But it's like I said, I feel like they read that comic and they're just like, oh, we need that. Let's just write a script around these few scenes because they're cool. Like there was no more thought put into the movie than that, I don't think. We just need to make some shit look cool.
Yeah.
And they kind of did that.
That's where like Zack Snyder does make things look cool, but like... I don't know, man. I don't want to hate
on
the dude.
He does have a good visual style, usually. Yeah. It didn't work for me here, though.
I think a big problem with it is the fucking editing in this movie is just so all over the place, man.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I think that's where we need to go next. It's so jumbly. My biggest thing with this movie, and like I got it when Nathan and I were talking about it later, was the fact that... Number one, there should have been no Batman dream sequences in this fucking movie. They added nothing.
Yeah.
They were long. They were awful. And then at one point, he's dreaming about a world already taken over by Darkseid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how does he even fucking know who Darkseid is?
Supposed to be some kind of, like, vision of the future. Not necessarily a dream. I don't know.
Okay.
But, like...
Well, even if he has that vision of the future, then he wakes up from the dream into another dream where the Flash comes through. And let me say, this is easily like the worst looking Flash costume.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a Flash costume in the 90s for a TV show that was like rubber ears and everything that looked pretty bad.
He looked
this
like
is
a Power
even worse.
Ranger or something.
He fucking
was
did.
It, I think, was it not supposed to be him like in the Time Force? Was that not Time Force Flash? Like in that?
The Speed Force.
The Speed Force
is still like, it's still like the Flash suit with like a little device around the chest or whatever. Like it's not like a fuck, like you said, it's like a militarized combat helmet.
Of
like,
course.
It's fucking stupid. But like,
you know, I will
so
say.
So he dreams that Flash comes and tells him that Lois is the key to Superman. So like they wrote in a huge plot point that moves along the plot in a dream sequence that makes no sense.
I will say, if they'd been more subtle about the rest of the setting up, I do like the idea of the Flash doing that.
Yeah,
I think that's
really
cool. Like, maybe not after an extended, like, 10-minute or what, maybe 5-minute dream sequence.
I think
but
if he came in during
like
reality,
Bruce,
that would be really
cool. Yeah, if
cool.
Bruce was just, like, chilling out in the Batcave, and then all of a sudden a portal opens, and, like, this guy he doesn't even know exists yet comes through and is, like, telling him whatever he told him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a subtle way of, like, not really subtle, maybe, but, like...
It works better.
Yeah, it's like 5 seconds, and he's just like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't know who the Flash is yet at this point. So, like, and then just don't mention it again.
I'll tell you what, like, so you do that scene, right? Like, one, you don't make it a dream sequence, because that just makes no logistical sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also do... Like, again, like, why would he be telling Batman that Lois is the key to stopping Superman? Like, you would need Flash to come in.
Why not prepare him about Darkseid
and
be like, hey.
Say something like, Superman's not your enemy. Be like, be a fucking hero. And, like, for a superhero movie, this is the most anti-superhero movie. Like, still, nobody fucking saves anyone, really. Like, even the scenes in the middle that are like really badly edited of Superman saving people, like he catches that one rocket and then you see him floating to the people like that are flooded on top of the building. Like everything's flooded, they're on top of the building waiting to get saved. And you see him float down as Jesus, because that's what Zack Snyder loves. But you don't even see them get saved. It like cuts away. Nobody saves anybody in the superhero movie. And it's just,
again,
it's just wrongheaded.
I also have an issue with, like, again, I'm a big Superman guy. Like, why? It seems like he's struggling holding up this rocket capsule. And it's the strength comparisons of Superman in this movie are, they just peaks and valleys.
It might be a thing where he's trying not to break it, too. Like, it might be really... Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, it just looks... He's, like, obviously struggling to hold it up. There's another scene I noticed where, like, Superman is fighting. I think it's in the Batman fight where he's, like, visibly sweating. Hmm. And it's like, Superman would not sweat. Like,
well, he would if Kryptonite was around.
But I don't think... I think this was... Not Kryptonite was around. I don't know. I should maybe watch it again, although I don't know.
Because I'll wait after he caught the Kryptonite gas grenade.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know the scene you're talking about because I didn't notice the sweat.
I think maybe it was in the desert. And it was just like after the Lois Lane thing.
Oh.
And I was just like, this doesn't make sense. Like, Superman should not be sweating. Like,
let's just talk about like how no one in this movie has any motivation to do anything that they do ever.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
All right, let's start with Superman. What does he do in this movie exactly? He doesn't like Batman.
Again, like I said, he gets beat up in this movie.
Okay, like, but like, why does he do the things he does in the movie? Let's think here. He doesn't like Batman because Batman is a vigilante who goes about his own rules and takes care of criminals, but he does it in an illegal way. Fair enough, except you're fucking Superman.
And that's the exact same thing you do.
On a much greater scale because your actions doing that have killed thousands of people.
And you're in the public eye, whereas Batman does things in the shadow.
He doesn't really seem that motivated to get the people on his side. And that's the weird thing. Like,
yeah, the whole public versus Superman thing is like talked about. He doesn't really seem that concerned about it. Yeah, there's never follow-up.
And there's a statue of him in the city. Like, why do they like him or not? I don't understand. Like, they like him enough to build a statue of him.
I think the whole him not being... I think that's the whole purpose of that also shoehorned in fucking Pa Kent scene with Kevin Costner on the top of the mountain.
That was weird.
That's maybe the worst point of the movie.
That did not need to be in this movie, much like the bat. It added nothing to this film but 10 extra minutes.
Okay, so Superman...
Not the worst. I've got one that's worse.
So Superman has no real like strong motivating factor in this movie. Batman kind of starts off with one. He does start off with one. He is in Metropolis when all that shit goes down. Mm-hmm. He sees his building, some of his friends get killed in like really brutal ways. So he's like, I got to keep tapping. Now, that's where it kind of goes off because he should be smart enough to know that it's not just Superman wrecking shit for the hell of it. Like, he's fighting a guy who is clearly the bad one in this situation. Maybe he doesn't know all the details.
But yeah, you would think so. But I mean, he is the world's greatest fucking detective.
He should put two and two. I see two people fighting. One of them going out of their way to destroy shit and kill people. The other one at least attempting to stop him. I'm probably going to side with the one that's not murdering people on purpose, you know? So, and I'm sure Superman's given some interviews of some kind in that 18 months or whatever it was. But Batman goes from, I got to keep... You kind of get the idea. He's like, we need to figure a way out to protect ourselves from this guy if it ever comes to it. But he goes from that to like, I need to murder this guy like as soon as possible. And that's basically his motivation. He has no other reason for wanting. He wants to kill him for like why exactly?
Yeah, they don't explicitly state any reasons ever. Like you can kind of infer if you are a legitimately like I don't know if you're kind of even remotely intelligent. Like you can be like, well, I can kind of see where they're going, but the film never tells you.
Yeah, and I can understand wanting like countermeasures against him because you still don't know a ton about him. But it's like you went straight to let's fucking kill him.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like
it makes no sense.
And it puts him on the level with Luther, who wants to do the same thing. He wants to have this silver bullet against the Superman, but
which makes sense. I mean,
they both come to the same result. Like, oh, let's just kill him because we can. Like, it was a really weird, like, meshing of the two. It's like...
Again, it's very unheroic on Batman's part.
That brings you to Luther, who's probably the biggest example of No motivation. Like, why do you... Okay, you don't like Superman because of the same reason Batman does. Or supposedly, because he's dangerous, and we can't stop him if he ever decides to just kill everyone or take everything over. Fair enough. That's a legit, concern. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, like, his plan is super convoluted. I don't understand, like...
I couldn't even tell you what his plan is.
Helen Hunt's character, that senator, whatever.
Oh, Holly Hunter.
Holly Hunter.
Yeah, you're right. Who's Helen Hunt?
She's Helen Hunt's mad about you. Okay. Yeah.
Twister.
Slash, what's that Jack Nicholson one? Oh, Twister 2.
As Good as It Gets.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good movie. Anyway, so she's all about, like, this guy needs to be kept in check. We need to, all that stuff. She's somewhat anti-Superman. At least let's figure out a way to control him. So Lex Luthor's like, all right, well, I got an idea. If you give me all this shit, this kryptonite and everything, I'll make weapons and stuff and make sure we can at least have a fighting chance. And she's like, nah.
Yeah, she immediately turns on him. Like,
I'm not going to do that because you're just going to try to kill him. He's like, what do you think I've been talking about?
Was she super or very, very against Superman? Because I didn't get that from her.
She was at least concerned.
Yeah. But, like, she was an anti-Superman. So when, like, she refused, like, I understand. Like, because, like, Lex Luthor is clearly going to jump to let's fucking murder him and even more ridiculous shit later. But her motivations made sense. For me, her motivations made sense.
Yeah, it just seems weird that the government of all groups would not want some kind of weapon that they could use to
fight
against this thing, you know?
And again, it goes in the face of the end of Man of Steel, because isn't the Man of Steel like Superman kind of works with the government and says, like, hey, I'll work with you, but you gotta trust me. Like, he throws on the satellite or something and says some dumb joke.
And then none of that happens.
And then, like, they completely forget about that. And it's...
I just would like to point out, I think, compared to these other two, Superman Returns is such a much better Superman movie.
Oh, I 100% agree.
Than either of those.
I don't really remember that movie very
well. Like Superman Returns so much. That was Brandon Routh, right? As Superman?
Brandon Routh.
God, he was so good.
I saw that movie.
I don't dislike the guy who's playing him now. I think he's maybe a little too svelte, a little too ripped as Superman.
Well, that's Zack Snyder.
Exactly.
Everybody has to be super.
I like Batman in that style. I like Ben Affleck super fucking jacked because I'm a big gay ball. And I like
gay ball.
But no.
That would have been a better title for this movie. Batman v Superman gay ball.
You got some other points in here we haven't touched on. I see.
Oh, well, let's see. I have a list here.
The Lex Luthor Jolly Rancher scene. I liked that scene.
I don't know what the fuck that was supposed to be.
It's just it's Luthor knowing he has control over that senator now, and he's going to let him do.
Lex Luthor doesn't really strike me as in the comics, at least, as a creepy guy. He's just an asshole, like the most arrogant person that's ever lived.
Yeah, I agree there. He is much more arrogant than this interpretation. But I've also read
the Riddler or something.
That this one is not the original Luthor. This is like his cloned son.
No.
You don't think?
No, it's not. All right, so let me drop some knowledge bombs on you. Originally, Bryan Cranston was going in for Lex Luthor.
That would have been so much better.
Right? And Jesse Eisenberg was going to be Jimmy Fallon. But Zack Snyder fell in love... Yeah, Jimmy Olsen. Well, Jimmy Fallon would have made a much better movie if he got shot in the head at the beginning.
Yes.
He plays Jimmy Fallon.
He would have been Jimmy Olsen, but like he had that weird Jesse Eisenberg manic energy, and Zack Snyder was like, I think you're the perfect Lex Luthor. So they outed
Bryan
Cranston.
Wow, that is the first big miscast I've heard. God damn, dude, no way. Bryan Cranston?
I actually want to talk about Lex Luthor because I too think he would have been a fantastic Luthor. I'm glad he stayed away from this movie. But when we came out of this, didn't you say you enjoyed Lex Luthor?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it was a nice different turn of it. I didn't think it was perfect. I think Kevin Spacey was the best one.
Okay, I agree. And I like Gene Hackman too. Nathan, you might be on me with this, but I hate this Lex Luthor. It is more akin to, like you said, the Riddler. Like, I get the Joker. Like,
he's very Joker-esque.
All about anarchy. Yeah. And, like, his energy, his, like, comedic little nuances, like, belong in a different fucking movie. Like, with a movie so dour and intent on fucking hating superheroes and life, like, superheroes aren't fun. There's no fun in this movie. To have Jesse Eisenberg clowning around and sticking Jolly Ranchers in people's mouth, it sticks out like a sore thumb. It just doesn't belong in this movie.
I think that's the big... There is no fun in this movie. Like, I was...
They tried. I think there are more jokes, like Perry White, Lawrence Fishburne's character, says something like, where Clark can't go to, he'd click his heels and go back to Kansas again. Like, they try more. Like, Man of Steel had zero jokes. I think Batman vs. Superman has jokes. They're just not good, at least.
I think this whole movie boils down, and the other one too, is that Zack Snyder is trying very hard to copy Christopher Nolan.
Yeah,
and falling very, very short of that mark. That's my biggest opinion on it.
I agree.
I think my biggest problem with Lex Luthor in the movie was, well, they try to give him dialogue that makes him sound like he's just kind of a, how can I put it? He's like above everything, but he's like making these weird little comments and stuff. And everybody's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like when, what's her name? Holly Hunter. Mm-hmm. She's in his like little den or office or whatever, and he's talking about that
fucking
that demon painting. And he's like,
"You think Daddy would care if I changed one thing?" That part was really dumb.
And then like he's like, "Ooh, the red capes are coming!" And he says it twice, and it's like,
"The red capes are coming."
What do you,
the
red what capes do you mean are coming?
Yeah, there's only one red.
There's
cape
one red
in the
cape,
movie.
And I know he's not being literal, probably, but like, oh, it's just such a dumb line. Like,
it's a blatant call to the red coats are coming, which is why you would need a fucking reference to Paul Revere in a fucking Superman movie.
Exactly,
it's very
makes no sense.
And
very
at the end, when he's like, "Oh, the god is dead," and he starts making like the bell noises, and it goes on for what seems like an hour, and it's just like so. He's just so his dialogue sucks. I don't know how else to say it. Like, there's just,
yeah, I agree.
The whole movie's dialogue
Luthor's
sucks.
Luthor's the worst Luthor's written character. Superman's second worst, I feel.
I think they're all bad. I like what Ben Affleck's doing as Batman. I think his character is badly written. I think every character is badly written. Everyone acts for the sake of plot. There is no like actual character motivation. There is no reason their characters would be doing this. It's literally just to get to these different set pieces, none of which are particularly good except for that one scene where Batman's rescuing Martha Kent, which...
There's little parts
the,
in
why the fuck
every
is he
scene.
Rescuing Martha yeah. Kent to begin with?
That's what I got. Like, you know, he's about to stab Superman with his kryptonite spear, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Save Martha!" Like, why would he be calling his mom by?
You're
his
letting
first
Martha
name?
Die. You're like, letting Martha die.
You call your, the only people I know that call their moms by their first name hate their moms.
Well, I do it, but
yeah,
I love
my mom.
I don't know. All right, maybe there's exceptions, but
yeah, I do it because it's funny.
Yeah, but you wouldn't typically do that. I don't think most, especially Superman, who's
save
clearly
my mom. You would, and especially at that point, like when you're facing, you wouldn't say, you know,
Martha,
I'm doing it for my mom. No. There, going back just a bit, I do want to. There are little things that I do like in that fight scene with Batman and Superman after he hits him with the first kryptonite grenade, and he's got him against the wall, and he's punching him in the face, and then like you see Superman start to get the energy back, the kryptonite's wearing. Off and like so it stops moving. I love that little scene where
that was kind of cool. That little, I mean, but that's like a 2 second part.
I know. Like, but that part was pretty cool. But then the rest is also it's so dumb.
But the thing with his mom, it's like Batman is literally about to kill him. You know what I mean? He's got him on the ground. He's about to stab him in the fucking heart or whatever. And for some reason, him mentioning his mother is enough for him to be like, "All right, I guess you're cool. I'll go save her."
Well,
why would he give a fuck if he's that far to the point of wanting to kill this guy?
And Superman can hear a pin drop in Africa, and he cannot locate where his mom is being hidden.
Yeah, and it's just silly. Like, Batman was, like, set on killing him at that point.
It's some screenwriter thought they were fucking very clever when they pieced together, as they were doing their research for this movie, "Hey, Batman's mother's name is Martha. Superman's mother's name is Martha. Maybe they bond over this," and it's the fucking dumbest thing. It's the worst. It is one of the worst plot conceits
now, see,
in
a
Hollywood movie I've seen in years.
If he would have just said, "My mother..." Because he would.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. He goes to the fight setting or whatever, and he is there because he's like, "I'm not going to fight this guy. I'm going to get him to help me because, you know, it's why should we fight?" But the first time in the movie someone is actually thinking like in a rational manner.
Yeah,
for like 2 minutes, because he gets there, Batman immediately opens up on him. Fair enough. If he thinks he's there to fight him, then although why was he just waiting there? Like, how did he even know he was coming at that point?
He didn't.
He's just there waiting. There's no reason.
Well, no, he told him, he's like, "Next time you put out that light."
No, I get that. But like at that specific moment when he's there talking to Luthor, Batman is also just happens to be there setting his shit up. It's like they didn't agree to meet here.
Well, but that's why he turned on the light. He was calling him out.
Yeah. But
I get how he got him there.
Yeah. It's Nathan saying like at that exact moment, it's very happenstance that Batman setting
his shit up. Because it's also the same exact time
Luthor's telling him, "You need to kill the Batman at this exact moment now when he's ready for you."
Fair enough, yeah.
And Luthor, like, Batman didn't know they were there, and he didn't, like, it just happened to coincide when Luthor also had kidnapped his mom.
Master plan.
But
going
Luthor
off.
And Batman would have had to have been in some kind of communication for that to work.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I'll go hang out at Gotham and turn on my light at this time. You tell him to come over here. But they weren't doing that. You know what I mean? They were just like, they weren't talking at all, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, Luthor was kind of manipulating him the whole time, I guess, which is. Really out of character for Batman,
I think it shows just the terrible writing and directing on the whole that,
We should talk about the cave troll.
One
the
more
end.
Thing, though, about that scene. Though,
I mean, Doomsday.
is when Superman gets there, he's already decided he doesn't actually want to fight him. Again, actually thinking logically for once. Batman isn't thinking quite as logically. He immediately starts shooting him with giant machine guns. And
I mean,
he has the intent
to just kill Superman.
Like, I don't know why he thought that would work, but just slow him down, I guess. So Superman's like, come on, just relax. And so he gets through all his traps. He gets to Batman and he's like, he doesn't say like, just like hold him in place and be like, look, fucking talk to me, you know? Just shoves him across the fucking like.
Where like Superman is he could just hold Batman there and be like,
he could have just grabbed him by the arms and just been like,
you're not leaving.
Just fucking listen to me.
Listen
for
to me.
A minute.
Yeah,
and
totally.
If you're still not convinced, we'll fight.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
he,
really need
yeah,
your
he
help
totally
right
just
now.
Pushes him away. Yeah, it's
yeah,
so
instead,
dumb.
He shoves him like 100 feet and then they fight. And like a Batman, what does he do? He ends up like beating Superman with a kitchen sink that he is like, is this a Tarantino movie or something? Like,
you know, that reminded me of Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, where Arnold Schwarzenegger is fighting that female robot in the bathroom and they're using kitchen sinks to fight each other. It's just like, come on. This is cheesy. It's stupid.
What's the Johnny Cash movie where he gets all pissed off because he can't find his pills or something?
Walk the line.
He's in the bathroom. He just rips a sink off the wall.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, they're fighting, and which led to probably the funniest scene in the movie, unintentionally, when Batman, like, lassos Superman. He's, like, swinging him around the room.
Yeah.
I was actually laughing out loud at that scene, like, when it was, because
it
was just so
ridiculous.
It looked
dude.
So yeah. stupid. Like,
again, and that's my thing. Like, dude, how is this, all of this happening to fucking Superman? Like, are you kidding me?
Kryptonite.
Well, it goes back to the whole Dark Knight Returns thing I was talking about. Like, that's pretty much what happens. And not panel for panel reshoot or anything, but he weakens him with kryptonite and kicks the shit out of him, basically. Mm. But throughout the fight, it's like, it's obvious that if it weren't for that, Batman
Superman's
would be losing
gonna win,
that
yeah.
fight.
Yeah. Superman does end up
he does
winning.
End up losing it, but yeah. like...
In this movie, they make sure you know Batman would have won.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for mommy issues... Batman would have won, which goes in the face of the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, and it's just because I've always thought this about those two fighting in the comics. It's like the only reason he wins is because they write it like that to happen. I mean, it's like that with any comic book, of course. But it's like if you take a character with the power set of a Superman and put him up against just a dude in a costume.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he win that fight in, like, a millisecond? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no way.
But they, you know, Batman's a popular character, so of course they write it so he has a chance.
And he's also, like,
wins.
Super smart. I get it. Like, it's a cool dynamic to, like, have the brains beat out over the brawn because Batman prepares and he researches all these things. But at the end, like, I just don't... The way it went down was just,
I don't think it was well done in the movie at all.
My issue with that, though... is they start writing Superman like he's a dumbass, which in this movie he kind of is.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. I can
give
you
that.
He's
not a dumbass. He's just trusting and kind of naive. Like,
he wants
to see the good
as,
in people.
Like,
Batman's cynical. He immediately jumps to the worst conclusion and prepares for it. Like, Superman genuinely believes in everyone. Not in this movie, but in the comics, he genuinely believes in people.
Because in the comics, it's like, he's like the smartest person ever.
Batman?
Yeah, no. Superman. He's not the smartest person ever, but he's pretty,
he's a scientist.
Yeah,
he's a scientist.
All right, I don't know if you've ever read Final Crisis, but in that comic book, they try to build a machine that can basically take any thought that you have and make it reality. Like, basically, like if you think about a weapon that could kill Darkseid, for example, I think that's what, I don't even remember. But yeah, he basically is a super complex machine from like, thousands and thousands of years in the future, and he builds the fucking thing in that book, you know what I mean? He's basically a designer, and he does everything, basically. So it's like, this guy is not an idiot, you know what I mean? But as soon as he gets around Batman, they just write him like some kind of frat boy that thinks he's going to walk in and like
just punch him
fuck
in the mouth.
This dude up.
Yeah.
And then Batman just kicks his ass every time. So that's more of an annoyance with that. Not necessarily with the movie, but...
So let's focus on these last two big things of the movie, which are...
Doomsday
the cave troll and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I liked how Wonder Woman looked, I will say that.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
I'm not necessarily a huge fan of that character. I don't really know anything about her.
Yeah.
I thought the way she talked was very odd.
She's not a very good actress.
Gal Gadot is not. I don't think so. You know, because even Henry Cavill, he's an English dude, and he does a really great... Mm-hmm. American accent. Why the fuck? What are you doing, Wonder Woman?
Like, well, before this, she'd only done a Fast and Furious movie. Yeah,
you don't have to be super Americanized, but you don't. God damn, it's so very obvious that you're not speaking.
Yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't even sound Amazonian. Like,
yeah, I was fine with her. Like, it's all right. So whatever. All you people listening or watching, call me like the Marvel fanboy right now because whatever.
You are.
Like,
okay.
I think they are more successful in the movie universe. But
absolutely, there's no question there.
I love Arrow. I love Flash. Like, I'm watching Supergirl. Like, I do enjoy the DC universe. But Marvel does something great with their casting. It's like every time they cast somebody, that is that fucking character. Like, surprisingly, Chris Evans, who is Human Torch, is like the perfect Captain America.
Yeah, absolutely.
They found the perfect Thor. They found the perfect Iron Man. They nailed the casting. Yeah. Wonder Woman is fine.
Yeah, she's not stand out.
Fine.
It's okay.
It's yeah, she's not great. I don't think she's bad. She's not a great actress.
I didn't say she's bad, but she's not, there could have been way better.
She's just fine.
I mean, looks wise, she looks fine, but like her acting, I would go as far to say it was bad in this movie.
See, I just don't think there was enough there to judge her yet.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the thing. They could have just introduced her at that party scene and just never had her in it again.
I don't get why she's in that final fight scene.
But then at the end, like,
and then she gets all the best stuff in that final fight.
Yeah, she shows up and takes the spotlight off of the two main characters of the movie.
It's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, seems like a studio man.
And what the fuck is with that sword? Like, is it seriously that sharp? It cut fucking Doomsday's arm off. Could it cut off fucking Superman's arm?
That is true. They needed the kryptonite spear to cut into Doomsday's skin. Just, how did her sword cut?
It makes no fucking sense. It's so stupid, dude.
That's a good call, Kyle. That was a very good call.
Again, this is all coming back to my love of Superman. And Nathan doesn't give me this, but I like the Doomsday character, too. I think the Doomsday in this movie is fucking atrocious. And as much as you think he's atrocious in the comic book,
agree with you.
This is like fucking
character.
Double down on the stupid of this character. Well, I mean, he's not fucking great, but he's the one that kills Superman. You got to give him some
credence.
He's just
a big threat that was designed to kill Superman.
Exactly, yeah.
But, like, at least he looked cool in the comics.
Yeah.
Like, that's more like... He's just the typical generic big CGI monster. He looks no different from, like, the fucking troll in Harry Potter or the cave troll in Lord of the Rings. Like, he is the exact same thing you've seen
I don't really agree with everything this guy says, but I think Angry Joe from the Angry Joe Show put it perfectly.
I hate that guy.
I do, too. I do too. Yeah, I think he's a douche. But
he's
said
a total douche.
When he watched the trailer, he's like, "Was that looked like a Michael Bay Ninja Turtle on meth?" That's exactly
that's
what
far
it looks.
Off,
no,
yeah.
I totally agree with that. It looks nothing like Doomsday. He doesn't like. I get they.
He started to look a little bit more when they.
He got the bones and stuff.
But they should again. Dude, they wasted him in this movie?
What was Lex's end game with that though? Like, I'm gonna create this monster that these three can't really stop without the aid of this fucking sphere.
I don't know.
What were you going to do after?
It turned on Lex, too, because Superman actually saved Lex from it.
What was Lex Luthor's endgame, and then how the fuck did he even do that? Like, you could say the ship gave him the formula to create Doomsday, but then why the fuck would the Kryptonian ship have the formula to make Doomsday?
And the ability.
Yeah, like Doomsday was presented as like this ancient birth defect that happened to Kryptonians sometimes where they basically were that.
And that's what he is in the comic, sort of.
Yeah, but it's like, why would the ship be willing to create that? Why would they have it in their technology? Like, let's create this thing that almost kills us every time it happens. And what was he going to do after, let's say that Doomsday was successful and he killed all three of the superheroes?
Then just runs rampant.
What were you going to do against him?
Because he didn't have kryptonite to stop it.
And even
Batman stole it.
And even Superman died in the process of killing him with the kryptonite.
Which
so
was
like,
such a dumb... Like, God, they just wanted to kill Superman and bring him back. It was so fucking stupid.
Yep.
I hope we don't go through that whole process with the Force alternate Supermans.
The movie rushes through several stuff. Like,
yeah.
They do the Death of Superman storyline. They do the Dark Knight Returns... They do a death in the family by showing you what is presumably Jason Todd's shirt with the ha 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 on it.
While you just said that, and it reminded me, I had something written down here. This is just be quick.
No, go for it. I mean,
Batman clearly has no issue with killing people in this movie. Maybe he's not going out of his way to do it, but if it happens, whatever. Yeah. You know,
because well, the Batmobile chasing alone, like 30 dead people.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not one of those like super staunch people that's like, he would never kill. Because like realistically, and that's not a term you should use in a movie or a situation like this, but think about it. Like if you did what Batman did every night, someone's going to fucking die, and it's going to be your fault.
Or at least be life-alteringly crippled.
Yeah, like, you're not going to be able to go through your entire career and never accidentally kill anyone. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and as he's gotten older, it seems like in the movie, you know, he's gotten way more lax about doing that. But if Suicide Squad, that's set in the same universe, right? If that's anything to go by, most of his villains are still alive. So, like, you won't kill a guy like the Joker who, presumably, if he's anything like the comic book one, has killed literally thousands of people. But you'll kill just some random
schmuck.
You'll
kill all the thugs. Yeah, like not, like, these really bad
This guy
people.
Might just be taking this job because his fucking family's poor and he doesn't have another choice or whatever, you know? Yeah. But, like, but the Joker goes out of his way to murder people constantly. And you're going to send him to Arkham every time. It's like, why wouldn't you have killed him by now?
Yeah.
You know? And
well, and that's... I think maybe he has killed him because... I mean, it's pretty obvious that the Joker in Suicide Squad is going to be Jason Todd.
That's I don't know. If
I don't
it's
know
obvious.
If it's obvious yet.
Yeah. I'm pretty convinced.
It's a fan.
If it's Jason
thing.
Todd, that's fucking stupid. And again,
I think
it
is Jason Todd.
Lack of respect for the source material.
I mean, I'll take bets on it. I'm going to go and almost guarantee it.
I don't think it's necessarily the worst idea, but I mean, anything can be good if it's written.
It,
well.
I like it because it's
but
it's
will that
different.
Be written well. If
it
it's
bucks
in,
the norm. Again, I don't know.
If this was done by Marvel and they made a bold choice like that, I'd be fine. I'd be on board.
Yeah. Okay.
They did in Iron Man 3. Remember?
I know, and I actually love that Mandarin twist. Because
who gives a shit about the Mandarin?
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's like, an old dated or an outdated Fu Manchu racist character from the comics. Like, whatever. Make it Ben Kingsley as an actor being silly. DC has not proven that they understand the material yet. I don't trust them to do this. And more to your point about the Suicide Squad, why even have a Suicide Squad? Why would you have a team of anti-heroes when we just had a fucking movie with anti-heroes? We don't have any heroes yet.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It just kind of negates
they should be
them.
On the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, like Batman and Superman
and,
firmly
and
belong
what's,
there.
What's
yeah.
the lineup of the Suicide Squad? You have, I guess, maybe the Joker. I don't know if he's
no, Joker's no. not part of the Suicide
it's
Squad.
Be Harley Quinn, Deadshot, Boomerang, Killer Croc.
The samurai chick and the witch.
Katana and Enchantress.
Yeah.
Is Katana a Batman villain?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she
so,
is.
So, like, four or five of that are all Batman villains.
Yeah.
And they're all alive, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, this guy who wants to murder someone who probably comes off as more of a hero than a villain at this point. Yeah, he killed... A lot of people died in Metropolis. Yeah. But he was trying to stop someone who was going to kill way more people. He does rescue people. I mean, he saves in the movie, you know, the rocket thing and the Mexican chick and the burning building.
Yeah.
And there was one more. Oh, yeah, the people on the roof.
He didn't save them. We don't know that. He just floated to them ominously.
Gave them hope. He gave them hope.
I was inferring that he did, but maybe he didn't. But
I like to think he didn't. He just floated
he just like,
and watched
you know
them
you
die dummies. And then floated off.
You idiots.
So... Let's go ahead and we'll wind this down.
Sure. Real quick before we do.
Yeah.
Lois Lane is completely unnecessary in this
I
movie.
I know. Dude, there's so many characters unnecessary in this movie.
Just, that was
I,
the
I
funniest part
the,
of that movie
the sex
to me.
In the tub scene? What the fuck?
Did they blur her titties? I think so.
They blurred. They did the CG over her titties.
I think they did.
But
I think they blurred them
yes,
titties out.
The first time, no, maybe the second time we see Lois Lane, she's in a tub and she says something like, I can't do this with Superman. I don't know if I can live my life with him. And then he comes home, and she's naked. You see, like, the side tits, all of that. And then, like, he jumps in the tub, and they fuck, and then cut to black, and then, like, no mention of ever again. Like, why even have this
it's not a,
dumb
it's not
little
a bubble
plot?
Bath either.
Yeah,
like,
it's like
clear
water,
but you just don't ever see.
You don't see nipples.
It's
like,
full
you
of bath salts.
Yeah.
Almost everything. But it's like, can't have nipples in this
but it's
movie.
Like, why would you have Superman fucking Lois Lane in a tub in a Superman movie?
Yeah.
If their relationship was
I
more
hate
convincing.
Zack Snyder doesn't understand superheroes, and he doesn't understand fucking sex either. Like,
he's
it's
done
the same
some
thing
good
with Watchmen.
Things. Watchmen was terrible. I liked 300,
though. Hallelujah. As penetration goes on. Fuck him. I hate Zack Snyder now. Like, he's turned me against him. And, like, I loved 300.
300 was fucking great.
I loved Dawn of the Dead. And I really enjoy Watchmen. And now this has gone back and made me retroactively, I don't know if I do like them anymore. I'm going to have to go back and really reevaluate.
I think 300
now.
Still holds up pretty well.
I've not seen it in 5 years, so yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, so, a long time ago. I don't know. Would you guys watch this movie again?
No.
God, no.
No?
No.
Not even the 3-hour director's cut that's going for the R?
No. I mean, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think I might have told you guys this earlier, but when I was in the theater, it's like 11 a.m. because I don't have shit to do on Fridays. So went and watched it, and there was like a surprising amount of old people in the audience. Like a lot of old men. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm.
They grew up reading Superman, dog.
Well, they're in for a fucking rude awakening when they saw this, if they're expecting the shit they grew up with, because it could not be more different. But anyway, so I'm sitting there, and you guys remember how at the end there's the weird Amish funeral that was, or they're dragging his body through a fucking cornfield. I don't know what that was about, but whatever. Anyway, so there's like four parts in that end sequence
that are just cut in. And that's the terrible editing I'm talking about.
I thought it was going to be over, so I was like, oh, thank you, God. And like the third time that happened, I didn't think anyone could hear me, but I kind of muttered to myself. I was like, God damn, how long is this fucking movie? And the guy next to me just started laughing his ass off because I was like, you just feel it in the theater. Like people were just like, can we get up now?
Can we fucking leave? Yeah.
Like, and I was like, I don't care if there's an after credit sequence. I'm fucking leaving. I don't even want to watch the next movie anyway. So why would I care? And I think I had actually read that there wasn't one. So.
Yeah. Even if you did, you wouldn't have missed out on anything.
So. What, so you both
they
say
showed
no.
all that stuff I, in the well, movie, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about recommendations, like, no, I wouldn't watch it again, and would I recommend it to anybody? No.
Oh, that's... No. That was my point of that story. You asked if I'd watch the 3-hour one. It's like, I could barely make it through
the
this
2
one.
And a half hour
so,
one, yeah.
No way, like, would I sit through another half hour of it?
I know you are more positive than us, and I honestly, I respect your opinion and everything. I think, and you, like, at least admit some of like the
I know there's a lot of flaws in
but
it, but I've
like
seen
it.
Worse. I have seen worse movies easily.
There's a good movie in this movie.
There is.
I actually don't know if there is. I think
it
could
have
been a good movie.
Massive rewrites.
I think you'd have to shoot more stuff too, possibly.
I mean, it's a big. It'd be a big
bad.
Change.
Alland was saying, thank God, and I'm excited to see Affleck do Batman.
That's
I'm
the
excited
only good
to see what he's going to do.
I'm excited to see what.
And
he
it's not like it's because he was so well written. But
no,
Affleck's performance managed to overcome the shit script.
And the fact that he is now in control of it. I'm excited about that.
We'll see how much control he gets.
Exactly.
This is a,
and he is going to be in Suicide Squad, too. I know that.
Who cares? We just need another fucking superhero in that movie.
Yeah,
least,
I know.
At least Suicide Squad, the tone of it fits what
it looks interesting.
You know what I mean?
So.
Like it actually looks like it'll probably be a little funnier than Batman.
Well, it'll be fun at least. So maybe we'll all come back together when that one comes out, and we'll do that too. We'll see what it compares to. So
Well, I was gonna say, like, I respect your opinion, and I know you have some flaws with it, but like really, it seems like online, it's people either love or hate this movie. And I think what this movie is going to be, and I think if you watch this in a few years, you're going to like it even less.
I would say so.
I don't know about the R-rated movie, but I think the people who are like really adamant that this is a good movie...
We're the same people that were defending episode
Phantom
one.
Menace.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Like,
absolutely.
I think
I
this is going to be the Phantom Menace of the
DC
universe. Like,
well,
people are going to change their tunes.
When I've
just
seen,
give it time.
When I've seen people online like adamantly defending it, like not like you where you're just saying, I didn't think it was terrible.
Yeah,
I get that.
Which is, I get that too. And I, because
there were a few decent things. Mm-hmm. I like Batman.
I came out of it having fun. Like I was still upset. There was a lot of problems. But yeah, I get what you guys are saying too. So
I wish I had fun.
When I see people really going out of their way,
I don't get that either.
It's just like, what fucking movie were you watching? Yeah. Like, I did not understand how you came to any of the conclusions that this was like,
even as a giant Superman
beyond passable,
fanboy, this movie is awful.
I think it'd be worse if you were a huge Superman fan.
It was. That's what I'm saying.
As you brought the best point, which is Zack Snyder clearly hates, or maybe that was you.
That was Nathan, but I
totally
agree with it. Yeah,
I don't think he likes superheroes in general, but it's like, why did you hire? Like, Marvel hires people that I feel like
get it.
I heard someone say this recently. It's like, the difference between the two movie studios, at least, is like Marvel understands their fucking characters.
Yeah,
like they know their motivations. They understand why they, you know, they're flawed characters from the start, but they're still likable.
Yeah,
and part of the, I think one of the biggest problems with Superman in general is probably making him relatable.
Yeah,
and you're going out of your way to make him less relatable, comparing him to Jesus nonstop. Like, this man is perfect. We should all love him and try to be him.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It's like, well, that's.
I like the flawed Superman that questions himself and the things that he does.
Yeah, but he's at the end of the day, he's still going to come through and do the right thing because that's what he really wants to do in the end. And, you know, he doesn't seem to get, like, I think we might have talked about this, but he doesn't really seem to give a shit about the people he's saving. He doesn't really seem that upset about having to kill, like Zod and all the other thousands of people that died. He doesn't really seem too worried about it. Yeah. He never really even talks about it.
He floats through life completely disconnected.
But then he gets pissed off at Batman for like being a vigilante. It's like, why would you come to that conclusion? You do the same shit on a much greater scale at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it boils down to. So, I mean, it's fun, but it's flawed. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Okay, well, I would add it's not fun. And
yeah, you did
people
not
taking their kids to the theater, like, how I don't even understand how a kid could have fun at this movie.
At a 2.5 hour movie. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
It's not. I don't think it's fun.
Let me see if we covered everything.
I think we did.
I got Jimmy Olsen, floating Batboy dream. I
don't know. We didn't, but
that's his dream.
The opening.
I thought that was actually happening.
He. And I did too at first.
I was visibly shaking.
I was like, what?
I was very angry.
And then when it was a dream, I was like, okay, whatever. It wasn't that big a deal.
That was a stupid Batman dream. So
I had shoehorn Dark Knight Returns references. We went over that pretty extensively. The Jolly Ranchers scene, fucking creepy, weird shit. Why are Batman's villains still alive? Did Lex Luthor know their secret identities? What was up with that?
I think so.
He did, because
they don't really ever
Batman
mention, like,
or Bruce Wayne got like the letters with the writing on them.
Yeah,
so I think that was from Luthor, unless that was from the Joker, in which case, why the fuck is Joker even sending shit in?
If that was from the Joker, they do nothing. There's no reference to the Joker besides the little statue. But you would think Lex Luthor finding out the two biggest, well, the only really superheroes in the world, finding out who they actually are, would be a big plot point. Instead of something that just doesn't even get mentioned, you know? So whatever. That's, you know, just tip of the iceberg with this fucking movie. The Jesus stuff, like the spear, we went over that. Batman's flimsy motivation, we went over that, right? Everybody's flimsy motivation.
Yeah, everybody's flimsy.
Lex's super convoluted plan.
I went over that.
Which, like, whenever the kicking off point was getting him to, like, go to the Middle East to save Lois Lane.
Yeah.
You know, if Superman went to the Middle East and started killing terrorists, Americans would fucking love him.
Yeah, for the most part. People would be like, okay, I'm into that.
Especially the government.
I don't want to get too, like, political here, but...
No, it's okay. Most Americans... Trump 2016.
Most Americans don't seem too concerned when civilians get killed over there. They're just like, whatever.
Who cares?
Know? So, yeah, we killed one, but we killed, like, 500.
But Superman
We blew up a town.
Instead of a drone, even though they're both coming in from the sky. Yeah, then we got problems.
Okay, so that was kind of silly. I think, and the last thing I've written down was the 9/11 stuff, which...
Yeah.
But there's only one example of that, really, because the first one, Man of Steel, was, like, the last hour of that was... And not even just because buildings were collapsing, but just the imagery of it. Like, and I will say, they did a weirdly accurate job of capturing, like, the mood of that day, I feel like, with the Batman scene. Which is all the more reason why it's just like, why is this in a Superman movie? Like, making me think of 9/11 right now. Like, this terrible day, and I'm basically watching it happen again right now with Batman. It's like, why? What? This is the tone you're setting for the movie. Forget the Jimmy Olsen thing I was talking about earlier. That's what sets the tone for your big blockbuster superhero film is a 9/11 comparison.
Yeah.
All right, let's get this fun started, you know?
Like, it's going to be a fun ride. Yeah, I know. I don't know. And at a point, like, we live in a post 9/11 world. It's going to be referenced. It's part of
the mythos. I mean, it even happens in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And, like, tons of other movies. But it's, like, it's not so, like...
It's... I don't think it's anywhere face. Near in Avengers.
Well, yeah. I think it's there's
like they refer to shots it like that, the New York incident, and there's a few shots, but like Zack Snyder, like, I think legitimately gets boners for 9/11.
I agree.
I'm not saying Avengers, like, anywhere near as bad about it, but like in that final fight scene, there's certain sequences and shots that are like, okay, you're trying to make a comparison. I get that. And
at no point do you see a building come down or like something going into a building like that, like Zack Snyder does.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, in like, Man of Steel, you see people crashing through skyscrapers, and then in this one, Batman vs. Superman, the building that Bruce Wayne's talking to the guy in.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like a... Might as well be the World Trade Center.
9/11 you know? Call. Yeah, it really is.
This is kind of morbid, but like you can hear phone calls coming from there as the fucking, towers started coming down, which is super depressing. But, and it came off like something like that. I was like,
I agree.
This is what we're starting with? Like, this is setting the tone for your film, your fun action romp here is 9/11.
I mean, let's get this party started. I can't think of a better way to end an episode than with many 9/11 references. So
I'm going
to
say 9/11 a few more times.
I think you should, and you should intersperse them in this segment that where Ryan gives out all of our lovely contact information.
So, if you are a fellow 9/11 boner enthusiast, you can find us at facebook.com/experiencegrind, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast.
Yeah.
Email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
Please check us out at experiencegrind.com. All of our stuff's there, archived forever. And Kyle puts up a bunch of videos on YouTube. Search Experience Grind. We don't have the actual channel named Experience Grind yet, but
if you subscribe, we can. Did you give out the Twitter?
I think I did.
Because if you should tweet us at 9/11 epic as fuck. Ooh, I just double boned it there.
One's, yeah.
That was a double.
I think it's more offensive than mine was.
I'm gonna pull the. That was bad.
You know, but with all this 9/11 talk, Zack Snyder is gonna have masturbation.
He's gonna write the Experience Grind movie now.
He's just gonna be fucking raw.
He's gonna start it at 9/11 where we didn't even know each other, and that's gonna be the Experience Grind movie. So
yeah,
I mean that's all. That's where we're gonna stop. I don't know what else to say.
Bush did 9/11.
Bush did do 9/11.
Oh no!
And he doesn't care about black people.
No.
I do know that as well.
That's two Kanye moments in one episode.
Bam.
High five.
Bam. So there we go. That's all we got to say. If you haven't seen it, that's the entire movie for you. If you have seen it,
suffer
with most of us. Revel with me in that it's okayedness. It's incredibly gray, but mediocre. So that's all we got. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks for suffering through this. Hopefully it wasn't as long as the movie. Grind out. Batman. Pow! Whiff! Bang!